Welcome to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Today's game is powered by Coke Zero, the refreshing taste of Coke Zero. Zero means it's game day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. World Subaru, get more for your money. McClune's Restaurants. For locations, visit McClune's.com. The Monmouth Smoke Shop on 2nd Avenue in Long Branch. And the Monmouth University Department of Athletics. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network. Now, with all the action, here's Matt Harmon and Eddie Acapinti on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And a very good morning to you here as we get set for an early start in the Steel City, downtown Pittsburgh, the site, week number 3 of the college football season for the Hawks of Monmouth, who have made the trip out on the Pennsylvania Turnpike West and will take on the Dukes of Duquesne. And as we welcome you into Monmouth University football here on the Shore Sports Network and the Monmouth Digital Network, our pregame show today presented by Jersey Mike's Subs. Visit the Jersey Mike's location on the corner of Route 36 and Monmouth Road in Carriage Square today, or order online at jerseymikes.com. Along with Eddie Acapinti, I'm Matt Harmon, two proud Monmouth graduates getting sent for what we like to do on Saturdays. That is call Monmouth University football. Hawks coming into this one, Eddie, at 2-0. A very impressive season opening win over Delaware State, the bye week, and then kind of an ugly win last week in the old rivalry game against Wagner. But if you're Monmouth, you got to love where you sit right now at 2-0.
Matt, absolutely, and good Saturday afternoon as we turn past 12 o'clock soon here in the Steel City on this beautiful, beautiful weekend day. And what better than to have Monmouth at 2-0 coming into play an old league rival in Duquesne. They beat the same kind of foe last week in Wagner, and they did it in a couple of different ways than week one. Week one, the offense was the show, running up and down the field, over 90 plays in that first game against Delaware State. Last week, the defense had to get the job done. It was a big interception by freshman Mike Basile in the end zone that sealed that win. So we've seen them win a couple different ways, and that'll be important this afternoon against a very, very good Duquesne team.
Ninth time that these teams will be matching up. They have played every year since 2007. Duquesne has won two of the last three matchups, including a season-ending win in West Long Branch a year ago, 33-23. A little bit deeper into this Monmouth team, let's take a peek at our injury report presented by Barnabas Health, Premier Healthcare, one click away at barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, everyday extraordinary. MU may be banged up in the one spot that they can ill afford to be banged up. That's the offensive line with two key guys out today.
Yeah, Matt, it's going to be kind of a jumbled up mix-mash line. No Hunter McHugh today for Coach Callahan. There's going to be some shifting along this line. Fans that are normally used to listening to Matt run through the starting lineups once this game gets started and run through those five linemen, they're going to be all over the place today, really with the exception of the center, Alex Thompson, and the left tackle, Keith Klutz. New names are going to be everywhere, and that's big because this Monmouth team is so predicated on running the football. Matt, some young guys going to have to step up today.
Dan Sullivan on the defensive side of the football will miss his second consecutive week with a ankle injury, might be back as early as next week. This Duquesne team off to a 1-2 start so far this season. Dukes opened up with a couple of tough road games with Buffalo and Youngstown State, and then a win last week here in their home opener over Dayton. It is a team, Eddie, that is littered with some talent, some former FBS players that have made their way back down to the FCS level. Some question marks, though, just like any team, but to me at least, I think when it comes time for NEC play, this is a team as defending at least a share of the league championship a year ago. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the team that's representing the Northeast Conference in the postseason playoffs.
Yeah, Matt, they got one vote in the preseason coaches poll. I think they're better than that, looking up at Sacred Heart in a preseason ranking. You said it, 1A FBS level players up and down the roster, including a couple in a very experienced and very good secondary for head coach Jerry Schmidt. They are a good team, and what they like to do is throw the football. Dylan Beekle, one of the best in FCS football, coming in fourth in the nation at 295 passing yards a game. He's got some dangerous threats on the outside. And, Matt, the key matchup for me is going to be the Duquesne skill players on the outside against this talented but young Monmouth secondary.
Our coaching matchup today, Kevin Callahan in his 22nd year, the 1977 graduate of Rochester, comes into today 127-97. Couple of wins already this year. On the far sideline, a man that has the respect of Coach Callahan for sure. That's Jerry Schmidt in his 10th year here, 1983 graduate of Westminster College. He is 55-43 here at Duquesne. Our coin toss today presented by Coke Zero. The refreshing taste of Coke Zero. Zero means it's game day, and game day today, Eddie, will start with the men in white. That's the Hawks of Monmouth receiving the opening kickoff.
Matt Monmouth won the toss, elected to receive the kick. They're going all white today with that brand new and sharp looking silver helmet with the new Navy M on top. Hawks get the football first in this non-conference matchup.
Duquesne in their home blue jerseys today, the white helmets with the red and blue D on either side, white pants with the red piping down either side. It will be number 35, Austin Crimmins, set to kick this one off. Game time temperature in the mid-70s, slight breeze going across the field, but it is a picture-perfect day here in the Steel City. Crimmins will approach from the 35-yard line at the left hash mark. Give this one a solid end-over-end boot. It will send LaVon Cheney halfway back into his end zone, and he will come out as Monmouth will with a touchback. Cheney will take a knee, and MU will have it first and 10 from their 25-yard line. Brandon Hill, the 6'5", 230-pound senior quarterback, off to a great start so far this year. 43 of 69 for 433 yards, a completion percentage just over 62. He's thrown four touchdowns, one interception. The offensive line, as we said, a little different than we've seen the last couple of weeks. The tackles, Sam Bell will get the start today. Keith Klutz at the other side. The guards, Rochelle Mador and Steven Andes. And the freshman, Alex Thompson, is the man in the middle. It'll be KB Asante to start at the running back spot. Asante, formation left. He'll get it off tackle to the right side and pick up a yard, maybe two, to the 27-yard line. The two wide receivers beginning play today, Neil Sterling and Lamar Davenport, Akeem Ballas and Brandon Sook, both into the game at that formation. It'll be Cheney to step in here as the alternate back. He's off to a quick start as well, the true sophomore. 143 yards on 26 carries. It will be Sumlin and Sterling in a stack formation off the left side. Vallis as the H-back sets up a trips that way. Now Sumlin will motion across the formation. Fake to him. He'll want him to throw under pressure. Quick swing pass to the outside. Sumlin will get it and get pushed out of bounds for no gain. Set up a third down and eight. Dane O'Driscoll and Jake Radzikinis are the two defensive tackles. Zach Zidian, the all-NEC performer, the man in the middle. Armstead Williams, Purdue transfer at one outside linebacker. Austin Whalen, the other. Nathan Stone and Sam Martello at the inside linebacker spots. Devin Williams, Trenton Coles, we'll talk about in a second. The two corners, Chris Johnson and Rich Bukarski, an all-NEC performer as well, are the two safeties. Here on third down and 8 minute into this first quarter. Hill wanting to throw, has some time, now going to step up in the pocket, dump it off for Asante at the 30-yard line. KB will have the first down and more at the 45. Takes a hard hit at the 46-yard line, gets forward to the 49. Big pickup, a 22-yard gainer, and MU will have it first down and 10 from their own 49-yard line.
One of the best dual-threat running backs in FCS football is KB Asante.
Asante will get it here on the ground, stretch play to the right side, line pulling. Asante runs through the first tackle behind the line of scrimmage, pushes the pile forward into Duquesne territory outside the numbers and close to the Mama sideline. A gain of about three, maybe four, to set up second down and a long six.
And Monmouth starting lineup that Matt read to you, presented by Surf Pro of Eatontown Long Branch for your fire and water cleanup and restoration needs with 24-hour emergency service. Surf Pro, EatontownLongBranch.com.
Here's Cheney on the carry. Going to try the left side of the line here. Not much to work with. Maybe a gain of a yard close to the 47-yard line. That tackle made by Radzikinis. Thad Richards checking into the game at a wide receiver spot. He'll come near side formation left. It'll be Darren Ambush, number 7, in the slot to the right. Sterling as the wide man to the right. Here on third down, let's call it a long five. It'll be Cheney up the middle. He'll have the first down and a little bit more down inside the 35-yard line. That's a solid gain of 11 for LaVon Cheney. Such a good change of pace back, Eddie, from KB Asante.
Yeah, Matt, how about that? Third and five, Duquesne switching players in and out, unsure of what they're doing defensively, and Cheney just so fast. Once he gets the football and gets himself north and south, where KB can lower the boom on you, LaVon will hide behind that offensive line and really get a good burst.
Good opening drive here for MU. 2.5 minutes into this first quarter. Asante will set himself to the left of Brandon Hill. Slot receiver combo up top. It is Sumlin and Sterling. KB will get it in the backfield. Cut up field at the 35-yard line. Bounce down inside close to the 30. They'll spot at the 31. Gain of 4 to set up a second down and 6.
And that's, Matt, what I want to see Monmouth get moving in this game. Get that running game going that last week Wagner's front 7 seemed to have a beat on. So far, it looks like Monmouth committed to establishing the ground.
Here's Asante up the middle this time. Good hole off the left guard. That'll be a gain of just about 5. It'll set up a third down and 1. Radzikinis there on the tackle. Good thing here for this kind of put together makeshift offensive line with a good start, a little bit of confidence maybe, and take the pressure off in the pass protection game. Vallis and Sook both into the game. One is an H-back. That is Sook. Vallis will go in a three-point stance. Tight end to the right side of the formation. Sumlin and Sterling off to the left. MU with a third and short here. Need to get to the Duquesne 25-yard line. It'll be Cheney on the ground. He is hit in the backfield. Falling forward, maybe able to get that first down. Stop made by Sam Martello, the junior inside linebacker. Going to be short by about a half yard. Monmouth lining up here to go for it. Cheney will stay in the game at the running back spot. MU will rotate in Ambush and Richards. They'll go two receiver set off to the left. Ball here from the right hash mark. Hill will empty out the backfield. Trips right, doubles to the left here for Brandon Hill. Play clock winding down to 10. Hill will get it. Wanting to throw on fourth and short, looking for Sterling on the far sideline. Sterling will get it, bounce off a tackle and get a couple extra yards. Caught it at the 21, comes forward to the 18, and that will be a first down and 10 for MU. Interesting play call on fourth and short after Monmouth has had success on the ground to throw there on fourth and about a half yard.
Handful of runs in a row, and then what does Coach Kevin Morris and crew do? Empty out the backfield. Get your one-on-one matchup with 1-7 on the outside.
Asante back into the game. Quick slant pass over the middle for Sterling. He will bounce down in the end zone for a touchdown. 17-yard hookup, Brandon Hill finding Neil Sterling, and MU taking the opening drive, going 75 yards down the field and scoring here on their opening possession.
What a drive by this offense that came in with some question marks along that offensive line, picked up a few third downs, a key fourth down, and then that great individual effort from Neil Sterling, breaking a tackle at the 5 and rambling into the end zone.
It will be Lucas Santangelo on for the extra point. Won the special teams player of the week in the Big South after a 14-point performance against Delaware State. On here to make it a 7-0 spread. Greg DePue, the holder. Good snap. Good hold. Kick is up. It is straight through the uprights and good. 7-0. Monmouth leading here. 10-17 to go in the opening quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network, part of the Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
You don't have any idea how to work that machine, do you? Not even a little bit.
I'll figure it out. There's trains and whistles in the background.
First score of the game for Monmouth. Hawk fans, get your 2015 Monmouth football tickets today by calling 732-263-5735 or by visiting MonmouthHawks.com. Opening drive for MU, 75-yard drive that results in Neil Sterling catching a touchdown pass. For Sterling, his first TD reception of the year, and MU up 7-0. Santangelo with a little pooch kick here, trying for the second level. It makes the back line. It is handled there cleanly by number 2. That is Wayne Capers, who will work it forward just over the 30-yard line to about the 31. So here comes now the Duquesne offense. Dylan Beekle, the sophomore quarterback. He was an NEC Rookie of the Week performer 3 times last year. He has a lot of weapons to work with. A 4 wide receiver set expected a good chunk of the time. Keep an eye on number 7, Devin Romming. Number 19, Chris King, who leads the nation coming into today with 389 yards overall in receiving. It'll be number 9, Marcus Hughes, to start in the backfield with Beekle. We'll go through the rest of the alignment in just a second. Romming in a slot position off the right side with King. Here is the give. It'll go to Rafik Douglas, and Douglas is wrapped up in the backfield and dropped for about a three-yard loss. The running back spot, an interesting one for Duquesne. They play four, sometimes five guys. Ryan Hull listed as the starter. He was not the first back out. We'll see Marcus Hughes. We'll see number 20, Cartel Clarity, and we'll see, as we just did, number 30, Rafik Douglas.
Yeah, even though he starts fourth on the team in rushing, as Matt said, they'll rotate backs, but their strength lies on the outside.
Trips formation this time off to the right side of the formation. Single man up top is Noel Odehu. Here's the quick pass over the middle for Chavez Rollins, a 6'3 sophomore. He'll catch it, get it to the 35-yard line. Odehu comes into the game as number one. He is 6'4", 200 pounds, even a senior. Had 75 career catches coming into the year, more than any other player. He's got seven so far this year. He will again stay as the single man up top in the formation. Ball set pretty much from the middle part of the field here on third down and a long six. Beekhill getting it. Here comes some pressure. Lets it go over the middle. The intended target was Kevin Enright, the tight end. That will fall incomplete, and a quick three and out here for Duquesne offensively.
So that time we see this matchup I'm keeping an eye on, these Duquesne skill position players against this young Monmouth secondary. Early advantage to the Hawks. Mike Basile made a play the play before, and on that one, on the high throw from Beagle, Joe Johnson was in on the coverage.
Come out. Dumas is back deep. He will await the kick here of Patrick Dill, number 17. Mild pressure from MU. Dill gets it up into the wind. High hanging punt. Fair catch called for and made by Dumas at the Hawks' 29-yard line. 9:05 to go here in the opening quarter. It is Monmouth 7 and Duquesne nothing.
While we have a minute, we'd like to thank our friends at the NJEA for their continued support of Monmouth football, the members of the New Jersey Education Association. They work to make public schools great for every child.
Monmouth coming on for the second possession. We have so much stuff up here. Never seen anything like it.
There's papers flying around. This thing's not working.
Hawks here on a first and 10. Ball sent from the right hash mark. Hill operating with Asante in the backfield to his left as the single back. Now will change spot, go in motion to the right. Hill wanting to throw. That one batted down. And dangerous play, but a good one made by Dane O'Driscoll, the 6'3", 260-pound junior who batted it down behind the line of scrimmage. It'll set up a second and 10.
We started this broadcast, Matt, talking about a lot of these FBS transfers along this Duquesne team. A lot of them reside on the defensive side of the football. We'll keep an eye on that.
Hill wanting to throw here again, and again it is batted down. Same man, O'Driscoll. Two consecutive pass deflections to set up now third and 10 for Monmouth.
Good pressure that time from the Duquesne front seven, as Matt said it. That same man getting in there and getting the pressure on Brandon Hill as O'Driscoll from Ohio getting in on him. Hill too tall, too experienced. Let that happen twice.
Ambush and Richards this time. Slot receiver combo. Flag out. This is going to be a procedure movement penalty against MU. Back them up 5 yards and set up a third and 15. We met Trenton Coles, number 23. One of those FBS guys who came down, Pittsburgh transfer, so right up the road. He was registered at Pittsburgh as recently as about 3 weeks ago. Eligible finally here today, comfortable with the system, but it's almost just a walk down. I don't like it here anymore. I'm going to go down the road and play over here.
He literally went to school down the street. Amazing, got in and eligible so quickly.
Here is Hill now on third and 15. Looking, has another pass batted down, and it's O'Driscoll again. I don't know that I've ever seen a guy knock down three consecutive passes on the same drive. And Monmouth going backwards in an unsuccessful second attempt with the football. It'll be Ryan Moore coming on to punt it away.
And on that scoring drive, that first Hawks drive, we saw the line play really well. This time, a bit of a breakdown up front as O'Driscoll got on the backfield three separate times. It's probably going to all start with that running game to let this pass blocking scheme take effect.
Here's Moore. Had a good week last week, hit a 56-yarder, not as deep this time. Devin Romming will catch it at the 39-yard line, go to the far side, and then get pushed out of bounds. Monmouth looking for an illegal block, of which I think they will get. There is a flag down thrown around the Duquesne 33-yard line. While we have a second, let's go through the Monmouth defense. Such a quick three and out for Duquesne last time. Darnell Leslie.
Return team, number 10. 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. First down.
You hear the referee with the call. It'll be marked back off 10 yards from the spot of the foul, so it'll pin Duquesne inside their 25-yard line. Darnell Leslie, Pat O'Hara, the two ends, Eric Masick and Demetrius Smith, the two defensive tackles, Peyton Minnick, John Sikowski starting at the outside linebacker spot, Tyler Thompson in the middle, the corners, Lakeith Celestine and Joe Johnson, Mike Basile, the Big South rookie of the week after a week two performance for MU, and Kevin Butler, the two safeties. Here on first and 10, it is Ryan Ho in at the running back spot now in a three-wide receiver set all to the right side. Quick dump down pass over the middle. It's Rahming who will catch it. He's got some blockers in front of him at the 40. Now we'll get pushed out of bounds at the 44-yard line, close to the 45. That's a gain of 22, and it will be first and 10 for Duquesne.
Really interesting concept there. As they had the Duquesne outside receivers blocked down, they threw it inside, Matt, and then almost allowed like a wheel route kind of concept with the receiver then breaking it to the outside. Nice little draw up there, and first and 10 for the Dukes.
Rahming this time will go receiver off to the left side of the formation in a slot position. Odohu will stay near sideline to the right. Rahming taking his time here, changing the play perhaps with 8 on the play clock. Hawks in the 4-3. Thompson coming on the blitz. So is Minnick. Fade pattern thrown. That one is caught and hauled in. Running down the far sideline and in for the touchdown is Chris King. 55-yard touchdown pass right up over the top in single coverage was Lakeith Celestine. And Duquesne able to answer with a strike of their own.
Not bad coverage by Celestine, which is the worst part. He was there step for step. The ball was just perfectly thrown by Beekle into this win, so credit him for playing the home field situation correctly. And then that long 55-yard touchdown, it's been a specialty of Duquesne, Matt. The big play for the Dukes, we'll talk about it more after the extra point.
Here's Crimmins on to try and tie it at 7. Wind is definitely picked up here. Crimmins will knock this one through at 7. Let's hold here and talk about this one a little bit more since we had a bit of a quick pregame show. Eddie, as you mentioned, Duquesne, known for their big play capability. We saw it on display there with a 55-yard touchdown.
Matt, 7 of their 12 touchdowns now on the season have gone for over 50 yards. They've had a couple of receptions like the one that we just saw, a couple of interception returns as well, a punt return. They have been utilizing the big play for Coach Schmidt all season long. And another thing they do under him is not lose non-conference games here at home. Under Jerry Schmidt, the Dukes are 15-2 non-conference home games here at Rooney Field. They're an improving team. They've been good every year they've been in the NEC. And that time they utilize that big play.
It's a tight stadium here at Rooney Field, but a nice crowd on hand. Great setting with the Monongahela River right behind us in the press box. It is a picturesque city. The three rivers, the Allegheny and the Ohio, the other two that all come together down the other end of town where the Three River Stadium, which is now Heinz Field, where the Steelers play, PNC Park, where the Pirates play. It's a city surrounded by water, despite its kind of tough steel reputation. It is a beautiful city, and MU hoping to get out of here with a win, which they did the last time they were out here. It was a great football game, 28-27. MU won back in the 2012 season.
It's weird enough that Duquesne has won two of the last three meetings in this series, but Monmouth has won the last three here at Rooney Field. Interesting between these two former league rivals.
Crimmins getting set to kick off from the 35-yard line. Gives this a pretty good charge. It's returnable, however, for Cheney. He's a good one at the 8-yard line. Gets now to the 20, coming to the near side and tracked down and hit at the 22-yard line. Good open field tackle made by Brian Hall, the junior defensive back. So MU will come out here. We've got a bunch of changes in possession already, not quite through the midpoint of this first quarter, and it's the third time that Monmouth will have the football.
Yeah, first drive looked great. Up and down the field, couple third down conversions, a fourth down conversion before Hill found Sterling for a touchdown. Then the offense kind of stalled a bit. So now we'll see what they can do again. This offensive line rebuilt, and now we'll see what they can do. Cheney will be the back this first play.
Cheney will get it off the right side. Little stretch play outside zone. Tripped up at the 25-yard line. Gain of about 3 will make it Second and seven.
Second and seven for Monmouth at their own 25-yard line.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
I just don't know what it's supposed to be. I'm not really. There's no stats for the stat thing.
Some technical guy you are.
It's ridiculous.
Janie has the single back, three wide into the game. Reverse setup. Ambush will get it. Trying to go around right end. Ambush will dive forward. Look for the first down. He'll be right at the yard marker. Duquesne coach is looking for an illegal block on Brandon Hill. There was no flag that was thrown.
It looked like one to the naked eye without any replay. Not sure if Brandon was directly in line or if he got the back. No call, however. It did happen directly in front of our official. But again, to the naked eye, full speed, it looked like it was very close. Could have went either way.
Hill just kind of got in the way a little bit.
That's all you need your quarterback to do.
Luis Quintana, number 97, the backup defensive end. MU able to get the first down. Ball pushed out here to the 33-yard line. It'll be Thad Richards as the near side wide receiver. That's the wide side of the field. Chaney will get it. Immediate pressure. Slips off one tackle. Comes forward over the 35 at the far side hash mark, getting to the 37. Gain there of about four. It will make a second and six situation coming up for Monmouth. They are tied at seven with 6:45 to go in the first quarter.
What we know is that Brandon Hill has thrown his fifth touchdown of the season. Neil Sterling with his first receiving touchdown. That was Monmouth's first score. The big play from Duquesne tied this one up in this back and forth first half of the first quarter.
Ambush in motion. Asante back into the game. KB hit and dropped at the line of scrimmage. Good interior pressure that time off the edge. It came from Austin Whalen, the outside linebacker, 5'10", 190 pounds. Not very often have we seen KB hit without getting a positive gain, but there no gain. It'll set up a third and six for MU, just a shade over 6 minutes remaining in this first quarter.
Well, Duquesne reset the line of scrimmage on that play, which is why KB was not able to get it rolling, as Monmouth will again, Matt, empty the backfield here. Third and six. And
four receivers this time to the left. Asante, Sook, Ambush, and Richards. Top side is Davenport as the single man. Hill with some time, now under pressure, steps up with a pocket, going to look to throw, has Ambush on the crossing pattern. He'll make the catch to the 45-yard line, go far sideline, get into Duquesne territory at the 49. That one will go for 14, and it's a first down for MU.
Well, when Monmouth has been forced with third downs, they've been converting them in this game. A couple on that first drive after going three and out. Now we'll extend the drive as they have the ball on the plus side of midfield.
Hawks will come out here with... Let me see what you can do with that, okay?
You got it.
Three wide receivers set to the left, one up top to the right. Swing pass to the outside. Asante catches it 5 yards deep in the backfield and is pushed out of bounds at the 49, but on the Mama side of the 49, it's a loss of two to set up a second and 12.
Hawks shuffling some personnel in and out. Akeem Vallis into the game. Chaney as well. This is a mess.
Sumlin will check into the game. Eric Sumlin, the 5'10", 190-pound senior. Tight ends to either side. Sumlin in motion. Chaney will get it. Up the middle on second and long. Back to the original line of scrimmage. So a gain of two. That will leave Monmouth with a third and 10. 4:40 to play in this opening quarter. It's Duquesne 7, Monmouth 7. Both teams taking their scoring chances to the air. Sterling catching one. King catching one for the Dukes. And MU now with that critical third down situation. Vallis, Ambush, and Richards off the left side. A wing slot receiver combo. And Davenport up top to the right. Duquesne showing blitz. Monmouth picks it up for a second. It is Davenport looking. And he was held off on the corner. And I believe it was Trenton Coles who had the coverage there. This is going to give MU a first down.
And Matt, here's what just happened. Was it holding? Sure. But was there a miscommunication on the pass play? Absolutely. Lamar broke outside. Hill threw kind of the seam route. So you kind of, at that point as an official, as we get the call from our official, you at that point as an official have to make the decision. Did the pass interference occur before the miscommunication? They say yes. and that's why. If the ball had been thrown maybe a step or two after, you probably don't get that call. So that's why Monmouth will get it now, first and 10.
You can hear the wind starting to pick up, swirling across the field here. Hill will change the play with plenty of time on the play clock. Official time at 4 minutes and 12 seconds. Chaney cuts back at the tackle gap and will bounce down inside the 35-yard line, get to the 34. Now, that's one area in the first two games offensively that MU has not been great at. It's been third down conversions coming into the day, 13 of 33, right around that 35% mark. It's not terrible, but you'd like to be at least, you know, somewhere between 40 and 50%.
And they look to be making a better effort of that today.
Asante pitched to the short side of the field. KB in a lot of trouble and will get snowed under by a wall of blue. Four Duquesne players involved in on that tackle. Nathan Stone, the freshman inside linebacker, among them. That's a loss of about three. We'll leave the Hawks with a third down and 8.
Before we get to this third down play, Matt, I want to give a quick shout out to the Monmouth men's and women's cross-country teams. I heard their rumor is they're currently listening to the broadcast right now up at Holmdel Park, eagerly awaiting their results from this morning's Invitational, listening to Monmouth Duquesne here. Big third down coming up for the Hawks.
Third, let's call it a long 8. MU with a 4 wide receiver set. Ambush and Richards to the left. Sumlin and Sterling up top to the right. Here comes pressure off the edge. Hill a little late seeing it and will get dropped for a sack around midfield. Coming hard on the corner was Devin Williams. And he will register a big sack with a loss of 11 back to the Monmouth 49. And MU will have to play field position and hope Ryan Moore can pin the Dukes down deep.
Now credit right there to Dave Opfar, the Duquesne defensive coordinator, former St. Francis University head coach. That time bringing odd man rush from the outside wasn't accounted for. And a nice job there by Williams getting to Hill.
Low snap, Moore able to field it. Gets off a high, high kick. Will bounce at the 2. Ed Royd's trying to save it from going into the end zone. Unable to do that. Will come out for a touchback. Reset the game for you. 2:17 to go here in the first quarter. It is Monmouth 7 and Duquesne 7. Busy week of football. Weekend of football, I should say, around the Big South. This really the only afternoon game, true afternoon game. Later on today at Florida A&M, Coastal Carolina, the number 5 team right now in the latest FCS poll, will play the Rattlers. The Citadel will visit Charleston Southern. The Buccaneers off to a 3-0 start. That one at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m., it'll be Gardner-Webb playing host to Wofford and Presbyterian playing at NC State. A 6 o'clock start on ESPN3. Liberty welcoming in old NAC foe Bryant. That game starting at 7 o'clock. Here's the inside carry on the change of possession for Ryan Ho, who makes a couple of tacklers miss at the point of contact and will bounce forward for a gain of 8.5. Just by the way, so you are aware of it, most of those games on the Big South Network, the game at Charleston Southern, at Gardner-Webb, and at Liberty on the Big South Network, the game that has Presbyterian at NC State, that game you can watch on ESPN3.
As Monmouth fans know, very soon to be accustomed to ESPN3. We're going to talk to Greg Viscomi at halftime to give us more information about that new ESPN3 Monmouth University deal.
Wow, that's a wrinkle in the broadcast here. Here's Biekel with a flag out. I think this is going to be offside against Monmouth. Three play here for the Dukes, and Biekel will run out of bounds, get the first down at the 33-yard line. Leslie jumped quickly there. I don't think he was drawn off with a 1:31 to go. Referees will talk things over. Our officials today, Jeff Pumphrey, Fred Yager, Anthony Solomine, Mark Batar, John Sorninovich, Jesus Gonzalez, and Jerry Walter. Let's listen in.
Offside. Defense line up in the neutral zone, number 81. 5-0 penalty has been declined. The result of the play is a first down.
So the penalty will be declined. They got, I think, 6 on the carry, so they'll take 6 rather than the 5 penalty. And with a 7-7 score, the Dukes will have it first and 10 from their own 33-yard line.
That's Beagle's first carry of the year. I'm a little surprised. He looked very comfortable and athletic getting to the outside.
Trips this time to the right. And has Ho the single back in this formation. Beeka with a long play count. He'll give it to Ho up the middle, and Mammoth this time up to the challenge. 1 yard pickup, stop shy of the 35-yard line. This MU rushing defense has been spectacular so far this year. Sixth in the nation coming in, giving up just 55 yards per game.
Yeah, man, they have been. The defense really on both sides, both on the ground and through the air, has been very, very good. But this rush defense holding the opposition to only 2 yards per carry. And up until this point in the game, Duquesne with just 9 rushing yards with under a minute to go in the first quarter.
Tight end receiver off to the right. 2 receivers to the right side of the formation. This one thrown in the direction of Odohu. And a late flag will come out. Odohu, I think, is going to be called for offensive pass interference. Marcus Leslie, the freshman from Florida, had the coverage. He was the first one to start clapping. I think he knew something that we didn't.
Yeah, because when you see the flag come out that late, you just assume it's going to be on the defense. And really, neither side, whoever that penalty's called on, is happy when a flag comes in that late. But you're right, initial call was on the offense. We'll get the signal now on our microphone.
Offense number 1, the penalty's declined, third down.
Mammoth will decline the penalty to set up 3rd and 8. It would have been 2nd and about 18, so one of those kind of questionable ones. You give him an extra down, but push him back 10 yards. Instead, MU will play here on 3rd and long.
And even though it's windy today, not necessarily a huge factor now that would impact that decision.
Nickel coverage in here for the Hawks. Minnick and Sikowski, the two backers. Leslie coming in as the cover corner near side. And a timeout will be taken here by Duquesne with 38 seconds to go. We're able to keep it here with a quarter break coming up for a moment. This is the start, Eddie, of a 3-game road trip. All of the trips will be in the Keystone State. This not quite the furthest. That will be our final trip of the year, which will be out to Robert Morris. Final trip of this 3-game road trip, I should say, out to Robert Morris. Sandwiched in between a game next week at Lehigh. Kind of an interesting stretch in the schedule for Mammoth right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting stretch where all of the opponents are familiar, obviously, with Duquesne and Robert Morris both being Northeast Conference teams, Mammoth's old league, and then Lehigh, a team that Mammoth seemingly plays every year, if not every other year. And I know the Hawks excited to get out there to Lehigh looking for their first win over the Mountain Hawks before then the stretch of play in the Big South. So when Pittsburgh is technically your local games, you could just get the reach of how far the Mammoth football program will not only travel this season, but where the footprint will lie moving forward.
Off of the timeout here, MU forces Duquesne into a 3rd and long 8. 38 seconds to go in the first quarter. Mama's showing blitz in the nickel right now. Beekel with a long set of signals. 15 on the play clock. Dumas the corner on one side, Leslie on the other. Up over the top, Johnson, Basile, and Butler. Johnson showing blitz. He will drop off. Here comes pressure from the linebackers. Beekel lets it go, and he's got a man. That catch is made. Staying on his feet and slipping off a couple of tackles was Chris King, number 19. Such a dangerous man. So the gamble, essentially, for Mammoth of not accepting the penalty and declining it doesn't pay off, and it will be 1st down and 10 for the Dukes at the MU 48-yard line.
Yeah, Duquesne player looks to be coming up a little limpy. Take a look down there.
That's Zeke Suivaea, the left guard, 6'5", 295 pounds. He's a good one. Kind of a young offensive line. Larson Graham and Dan Buchholz, the two tackles, sophomore and junior. Miguel Mesa and Suivaea, the two guards, both sophomores. And Mike Monzaluski is the center. He's just a freshman.
Surrounded by veterans, as am I. And you are such a pro helping me out with that name.
We'll talk about that later. 1st down and 10 with 13 seconds to go. Man in motion is Roming behind the formation. He will get it. Swing pass to the right side. Good block sealed off on the edge. Roming breaks off a 1 tackle. Gets about 7 as he gets close to the 40-yard line, then pushed back. This one going to be spotted around the 42. That'll take us to the end of the first quarter. We step out here for our first quarter intermission. 30-second timeout. It's Mama 7, Duquesne 7. We're back with more Hawks football right after this quick timeout on the Shore Sports and Mammoth Digital Networks.